We're going to continue one more time with our series we've been doing this week. But before I get into this one, I want to make a correction and let you know I made aware of a couple of things I said last week. I used forgiveness instead of unforgiveness toward the end of the message. So I apologize for that and hope we can correct that and get on there and edit it and take that off. So, but I want to continue this week, and I want to talk about this week being mindful but not fearful. In our series of learning the principles of faith. So if you have your Bible, and we'd like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we will read verses 3 through 7. And as we look at 2 Timothy, I want to remind you again of 1 Timothy. When Paul wrote 1 Timothy, his first letter to Tim, things was going well with the church. It was growing, it was coming up. Paul gives him some instructions concerning some false teaching. Also in that, he tells him some instructions on the qualifications for deacons and the bishops, how to set the offices up. So the church is growing. But now when you get into 2 Timothy, there has been quite a few years between the first and second letters that he wrote him. So the second time he writes him, things are not going so well. So what is happening here, the church now is under persecution. And Timothy, he's fearful because they're searching out Christians and they are persecuting them. So Paul is returning a letter from Timothy in response to him. And so we pick up in verse 3, he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I love those scriptures here, and I like the way Paul begins, because now Tim is searching for answers. I'm sure he's looking for some comfort from Paul. But Paul, instead of just saying, Timmy, I know everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned. It's going to pass. But Paul says, I am mindful. Being mindful. See, being mindful is being careful. It means being cautious or being attentive. So I think Paul, he uses the word mindful here when he says, I am mindful of your tears. He's letting Timothy know, I'm attentive to it. I'm paying attention to you, Timothy. Instead of the other two times, he used the word, I remember. And then the next verse, he said, I call to remembrance. So mindful always puts a lot of emphasis on paying attention to in the present moment. And it also says, and not dwelling on the thoughts about the past or the future. So we can get so backed up in our past and thinking about what things has happened, or we be concerned about things that might happen on into the future. But he said, we are mindful. So we are always mindful of what's going on. We do not, in our walk of faith, we don't just deny it. We don't act as though it doesn't exist. Paul in here, he's not acting like the things and the troubles and all the fears that Timothy had does not exist. He said, I'm mindful. So we're always mindful of what's going on. You know, I can be mindful of how my body feels, but I'm not fearful over it. I can be mindful of what my children may be doing or involved in, but I'm not to be fearful over them. I can be mindful of a lot of things, but I keep it in the present moment. Don't let things that happened before, don't let your mind begin to wander and run scenario on things that can happen, that don't never happen. You understand what I'm saying? But we can just see the whole thing play out in our mind. And it never happens that way. So we are mindful, but we're never fearful. The word fearful has many meanings. It can mean to be afraid of something or someone. On the good side of that, it can mean that we have a profound reverence or awe of someone. And especially when we are talking about God. See, Psalms 139:14. He said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So don't let nobody talk you down. I tell you this all the time. Because when you should look at yourself in the mirror, and you should say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made because God created me to be like I am. So the psalmist here, he's giving reference. When he says fearfully, he's talking about, he looks at himself in awe. Not that he looks at himself in the mirror, and is afraid of himself. But he sees, he's giving reverence to God over that when he sees himself. How marvelous is he? How marvelous are your works? See, fear can imply anxiety and usually loss of courage. Joshua 1:9. God speaking to him says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, that is a good reminder for us when things happen, to cast out that fear and remind us that God's word says that he is with us wherever we go, that we are not to be dismayed, not to have courage. We should face everything with courage because we know that God is with us. And the scripture said, if God is for us, who can be against us? That I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That we not to start feeding ourselves with what God says about us instead of what we may feel and what our mind be, start telling us things. Because we want to go by what God's word said, the truth that sets us free. See, fear is an unpleasant emotion based on a feeling. Let me go back to what I told on our message. You know, our brain picks up on a feeling that we have, and it assigns an emotion to that. And depending upon the intensity of the feeling is the intensity of the emotion. When someone makes me angry, it depends on how angry my feeling is, on how much my emotion shows that anger. Amen? So fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is out to harm us. It is dangerous to us, likely to cause harm or a threat to us. In Mark 4:39-46, this is where Jesus is asleep in the boat and they come across a big storm and now the boat's filling with water and the disciples go back and ask him, don't you care that we perish? But verse 39 says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? See, fearful is often used with having no faith or being faithless. See, Jesus was in the same situation as they was. But you see the difference in the way he responded. They responded out of fear. He responded out of faith. He just got up, spoke to the wind, spoke to the sea, calmed everything down, took control over the situation. And asked them, why were you so fearful? So sometimes I believe he wants to ask them, why are you so fearful? When we come across something that comes in our life and we have a circumstance that happens to us or we're facing a situation, instead of just being like Jesus, stand back and take control of it and use the words of God and the faith we have in God, from God. And we speak to that instead of being so fearful, thinking, letting our minds start to wonder, this is going to happen and this is going to happen, or what if this happens and what if that happens? And all that does is start causing more confusion and more fear to take a hold upon us. So Jesus was mindful of the situation. He didn't deny that. He didn't deny that they probably was in a dangerous position. He didn't deny that the wind was strong and the waves was rough. He didn't deny that the boat was filling with water. But he just took control. He didn't start speaking, oh, what are we going to do? It's a great wind. It's a strong waves. He just simply took control over the situation. See, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Therefore, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Yeah. Philippians 2:5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, we have the mind. We have the knowledge. God said, James writes, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give to you freely and he won't withhold it. You know, we can go to him and ask him for wisdom and be assured that we will receive it. But sometimes we just got to get our mind calmed down. We got to get settled down enough and quiet enough within our mind and within our spirit that we can hear what God's trying to tell us. So 2 Timothy 1:7, I want to give you two things. First, in verse 7, he said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. That's why I do not like to hear people say, oh, I'm just going crazy. You know, I'm losing my mind. I was over at work the other night, and they said, I'm going crazy. I said, don't say that. Watch what you say over yourself. Oh, I'm just so worried. I don't know what I'm going to do. You see all these words we just throw out there? And so that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what we speak, it flows out the issues of life. It sets the course of our life. It brings things into us. In verse 4, he said, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful. Now, let me tell you, we're always should be mindful of the present. Be mindful of the things that's happened. Don't stick my head in the sand, as they say. I don't walk around with my head in the sand, just oblivious of everything that's going on around me. I try to stay kind of up to date on what's happening. I don't want to get blindsided by something, do you? So I'm mindful of what's happening around me, but it don't cause me to get over into being fearful. You know, I want to know what's going on, but I'm not going to worry over that. Because I want to start speaking, if I know something's going to happen or if I expect something, I'll start speaking the word of God over it. If I start getting a little bit troubled about it, then I'm going to start speaking the word of God to myself over it. I'm going to get out of that. If I feel like I want to worry or be a little fearful, if I think things is going to happen that I'm not for sure of, how it's going to concern me, how it's going to affect me, then I'm going to start speaking the word over it right now. I'm going to head that fear off where it gets a hold on me. Or had that worry off before it starts getting into my heart and getting sets a seed and then it starts growing, then that's all I'm going to start thinking about. So I want to continuously speak on those things. So I want to be mindful of things. I just don't deny everything and the thing everybody goes, oh, it's going to be okay. So we want to keep being mindful but not fearful. So I want to give you some things here. 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Another translation says, fight the good fight for the true faith. See, that is the only fight that we are supposed to fight, is the fight of faith. That's the only fight wherever in the Bible says the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. In Job 3:25, you know, what I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. So Job was always concerned about his children. His children was a bunch of party animals. So Job, every time they would have a party and be at one of their houses and have a party, he would always go out the next day. He would make offerings to God just in case they sinned against him, trying to cover everything up and make them stay right, you know, stay in good standing with God through his offering. But Job was always fearful of that. So he said when he got the news that all of his children was killed, they was at one of their brother's house and they was all partying, and a big wind came, destroyed the house, brought the house in, and it killed them all. Well, he said, what I feared has happened to me. But you know, you can bring things on by just keep dwelling and living in that fear. He said, what I have dreaded has come true. Hebrews 2:14-15. He says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. You know, back then before Christ and before he died, everybody, when they died, that was the end. So they had this fear of dying because they knew when they died that it was over. And they had no hope. So he released them. He said he released them from that fear. When he came and he died, he released them who were held slaves all their life. See, fear can hold you in bondage and keep you a slave to whatever you are afraid of, whatever you are so fearful about. It will just always be in your mind and in your heart and in your conscience. You're always thinking about that. But Jesus set us free. He broke the power. He said the devil had the power. He had the power over death. But when he died, he come out. Now we can say as the scriptures, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Because death would get them and the grave would hold them. They couldn't break out. But then now that Jesus died and he set us free, now we say, oh, death, where is your sting? Well, it's because he took the power that Satan had, the devil had, over death, and he freed us from that. But then, faith and fear both demand that you believe in something you cannot see. Faith and fear both demand that you believe in something that you cannot see. See, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Another translation says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. But if we're going to walk by faith, you're walking without being able to see what's out there. You believe in God for what's out there. Either they're not going to harm you, not going to hurt you, you're going to be overcome. We're going to have what we believe. See, fear wants to put you in a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God has wants you to be. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Some says we are God's craftsmanship, His workmanship. As He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. I keep telling you, God planned a lot of good things for us to do. He planned your life. He told Jeremiah, "I knew you before you were in your mother's womb." God knew you. He set your days in order. The problem is, are we going to be obedient to walk in that order? Amen. He's got good things for us, but sometimes we veer off from God's plan. We get out of His plan that He has for us, and we go down some wrong roads, and we go down and we see troubles that if we'd have stayed with Him, we would never saw. But God, thank God for His grace, that He always is working to get us back on the right path. He's always trying to get us to turn around and get back on the right path and follow Him. But see, fear imprisons, faith frees. Fear paralyzes where faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. See, fear sickens, but faith heals. Fear makes you useless, but faith makes you ready for service. See, fear says it won't work, but faith says it can't fail. Fear will make you cower down, but faith enables you to stand. Fear makes you worry, but faith believes. Fear makes you look within, but faith, you look to Jesus. See, fear makes you despair, but faith gives you hope. Fear comes at works. Fear comes or works. Now get it. Fear comes or works by hearing the word of the world. But faith comes by hearing the word of God. Fear is applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. And faith is applied by speaking things that are not as though they were. See, Satan supports and develops fear, but Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Fear says you are all alone, but faith says Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. Psalms 56:3. But when I am afraid, I will trust in you. See, when I am. See, I expect at times there are things that's going to make me afraid. When I enter my human nature, if there are things going to come that I might. He said, when I am, see, I don't walk in it. I don't live in it. But things sometimes might come that when I am afraid, I will trust in you. See, faith is more than what I can believe. It is who I believe in. One of my favorite verses, Galatians 2:20. Says, "For I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live by faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." See, faith is our confidence. Hebrews 11:1. That faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Another translation says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not something that we can create on our own. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. Another one says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 12:3 says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. But we got to realize faith is a force. We've been talking about Mark 11 and 22 and 23, where Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. The faith must be released through your words. Faith is words, not thoughts. Revelation 12:11. And they departed, and they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. See, faith is our victory. 1 John 5:4. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Faith is our shield. Ephesians 6:16. It says, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts or the arrows of the devil. And faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith is it impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. But faith works by love, Galatians 5:6. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. And love must be the dominating motivation force for operation of faith. See, love must be the dominating, motivating force behind the operations of faith. 1 Corinthians 13:1, the love chapter, it goes from 1 to 13. But in verse 2 it says, for if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I am nothing. Here's one. Faith will work for you. Faith will work for you. 2 Timothy 2:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And in 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, the three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. See, love transforms us. Faith strengthens us. And hope sustains us. Can you say amen? One more thing I want to bring up. Matthew 6:24-34. And this is one of Jesus' teaching. He's teaching and he begins and he's talking about where you store up your treasure. It says there your heart or your desires will also be. He says, store them up in treasure where the moth and the rust cannot come in and corrupt it or destroy it, and where thieves cannot break in and steal it. Then in verse 24, he said, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Then he begins this teaching with verse 25. He said, that is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, and your body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Aren't you more valuable to him than they are? We are his masterpiece, his workmanship, his craftsman. He said, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for the day. Is that not correct? So we want to be mindful of what's going on, but we don't want to be fearful. We want to understand what's happening, but we don't want to worry. We want to put our trust in God and be free. Free from fear. Free from worrying. Free from being afraid. Free from wondering what's going to happen, and free from letting our mind get into different scenarios that never happen. I used to feel like I could plan it from A to B and just see it. And it never happened. So control your thoughts with the Word of God. Control your fears with the Word of God. Control everything about your life with the Word of God. Control your mouth with the Word of God. Let God's Word do your talking. You remember what? Let God's Word do your talking, your speaking. We're going to close with this right here. I hope those, I come up here every day week. Well, see, I know that God wants us to have a victorious life. He wants us to live victorious. But see, we have this enemy that is against us. It's called self. It's called our human nature. Our human nature always wants to take care of self. Our human nature wants to give self its desires. God wants to give us the desires of our heart also, but He wants them to be in the right desires for the right reasons and not to harm us. I've heard a lot of messages on faith, and without the whole message of faith, some people are destroyed by some of the messages because they don't give them the whole truth about it. So all you got to do is just believe. All you got to do is just keep confessing it. See what they do? Faith is not something I can just drum up on my own. Faith comes from God, and it comes from hearing His Word. His Word increases my faith. It strengthens my faith. It builds me up because I begin to trust Him and believe Him and not what I feel or what I think, but what He says. And I told you, when it gets so indwelled in you and so embedded into you, that when something happens, that the Word of God dominates what the world says about it, what you think. That's why we think Romans 12:2, let God change the way you think. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to let God change you. Let God change the way you think, because we've spent a long time growing up and being controlled by self. And now we got to change all that. And when things happen, Sometimes we want to go back to self-preservation in what we rely on, us, instead of relying on God. Especially if we don't see results right off. Then we might start off and believe in God, but if we don't see results, then, hey, I got to do something on my own. I got to take care of this. Fight that. Fight against that. Fight against dropping back once you started. Let God work it out. Let your faith hold you, strengthen you till the end.